she said. She was 35, tall, maybe only an inch or two over the average for American women, but the kind of intelligence and energy and vitality she radiated took the word medium right out of the equation. She was halfway between lithe and muscular, with a bright glow in her skin and eyes. Her hair was short and fair and casually unkempt. She gave the impression of having hurriedly stepped into her street clothes after showering quickly after winning a gold medal at the Olympics by playing a crucial role in some kind of team sport.
"What kind of something?"
Stuyvesant asked. His desk was large, obsessively cleaned and polished. He was famous for always keeping his desktop completely empty. The habit created an air of extreme efficiency.
"I want an outsider to do it," Froelich said.
"Who?"
Froelich shook her head.
"You should stay outside the loop," she said. "Better that way."
"Was he recommended?"
"Or she." Stuyvesant nodded. The modern world.
"Was the person recommended?"
"Yes, by an excellent source."
"Let me play devil's advocate," Stuyvesant said. "I promoted you 4 months ago. Choosing to bring in an outsider now might be seen to betray a lack of self-confidence."
"I can't worry about that."
"Maybe you should," Stuyvesant said. "This could hurt you. There were 6 guys who wanted your job, so if you do this, and it leaks, then you've got problems. You've got 6 vultures muttering told you so the rest of your career, because you started second-guessing your own abilities."
"Thing like this, I need to second-guess myself."
Stuyvesant said nothing.
"I'm not happy about it," Froelich said, "but I think it's got to be done. So will you authorize it?"
Stuyvesant shrugged.
"You shouldn't be asking. You should have just gone ahead and done it regardless."
"Not my way," Froelich said.
"So don't tell anybody else, and don't put anything on paper."
Then, like the good bureaucrat he had become, Stuyvesant arrived at the most important question.
"How much would this person cost?"
"Not much," Froelich said. "We've got some history together, of a sort."
"Okay, do it,"
Stuyvesant said. She started immediately, hunting. All she had was a name and a sketchy biography, up to 8 years ago, part of some drowsy pillow talk. He was military, she knew that. So she went to the National Personnel Records Center's database, which listed every man or woman who had served in a U.S. military uniform anywhere, ever. Bad news, he wasn't military anymore. The career summary dead-ended 5 years ago with an honorable discharge after 13 years of service. Final rank was major. There were medals listed, including a Silver Star and a Purple Heart. She plowed on. Next logical step was the Social Security's Master Death Index, but the inquiry came back blank. He was still alive, as far as the government knew. Next was to check in with the National Crime Information Center. She got a negative arrest or conviction record, plus a short note to say the subject had an FBI file. Interesting. She went straight to the FBI's database and couldn't open the file, but she knew enough about the Bureau's classification system to decode the header flags. It was a simple narrative file, inactive. He wasn't wanted for anything. She wrote it all down, then clicked her way into the nationwide DMV database. Bad news again. He didn't have a driving license, which was very weird and a big pain in the butt, because no driving license meant no current photograph and address. She clicked her way into the Veterans Administration computer, searched by name, rank, and number. The inquiries came up blank. He wasn't receiving federal benefits and hadn't offered a forwarding address. Why not? Where the hell are you? She went back into Social Security and asked for contributions records. There weren't any. He hadn't been employed since leaving the military, at least not legally. She tried the IRS. Same story. He hadn't paid taxes in 5 years. Okay, so let's get serious. She quit the government sites and fired up some illicit software that took her straight into the banking industry's private world. On that particular Monday, there were over 1,000,000,000 separate accounts, but only one of them was listed against the subject's name and Social Security number. It was a simple current account held at a branch of a regional bank in Arlington, Virginia. M.E. Froelich stared at the branch's address in surprise. That's less than 4 miles from where I'm sitting right now. She picked up her phone and called a senior colleague on the other side of the organization and asked him to contact the bank for all the details.